music. Tonight from midnight, Don Letts. Right now, Guy Garvey's finest hour.
Who let Garvey on the air?
The Bee Bally BC is who?
Guy Garvey.
On six.
1, 2, 3,
My baby don't mess around because she loves me so, and this I know for sure. But does she really want to, but can't stand to see me walk out the door. Don't try to fight the feeling, because the thought alone is killing me right now. Thank God for mom and dad for sticking two together, because we don't know how.
Garvey, the lead singer of Elbow, and this could be my finest hour. Welcome everybody, I am, as always, pre-recording my show for broadcast on Sunday night. I'm with you till midnight. I'm pre-recording it in my little house here in Manchester. That was Outkast with Hey Ya. I've chosen it because I've always considered Outkast to be quite a mischievous crew. And the theme of this week's show is mischief. This is on account of air steward Stephen Slater's exploits last week. I don't know if you heard this story. But Stephen Slater was an air steward on board an American aircraft. He had an argument with a passenger, which ended with him insulting said passenger over the tannoy and quitting his job, giving a farewell speech, grabbing his overnight bag and a beer and operating the emergency slide on the runway in order to leave the aircraft, after which he jumped in his car and drove home. Mischief of the highest calibre. He did, of course, face a fine, and he's in all kinds of trouble. But flamboyant, wonderful folk hero stuff. Good on you, Stephen. The whole show's dedicated to you. So, yes, that's the theme of the show, Mischief. All the regular features besides. We'll find out what Sir Patrick Moore was up to this week in 1969 in That Was the Sky at Night, that week that was. The Beckopedia will no doubt make an appearance and educate us further on things of a musical nature. An archive snippet from the BBC in Desert Island Discs. I'll be playing a little bit of a snippet of Desert Island Discs. And the gallery, I've been asking you for circular images. I want lots of circular images just because it's nice to have a bit of uniformity to the gallery. I'll be having a look at what you've sent me there, reading your emails. And of course, another criminal cover version will face the music, so to speak, in our regular feature, It Was Murder. Absolutely wonderful. It's going to be great. But first of all, here's Fats Domino. Awful lot of mischief in this chap's voice. This next song makes Mrs. Badger and her best mate Alison dance particularly entertainingly when drunk. Here's Fats Domino and Blueberry Hill.
I've found my thrill.
Wonderful. Fats Domino and Blueberry Hill. There's been some emails. Tony Linsky's been in touch. He says, I like Eric Coates ever since a fascinating documentary about him was aired on Radio 4 at least 18 years ago. The background to A Sleepy Lagoon, which I played last week, it was the theme tune to Desert Island Discs, was interesting, and I checked a map to see where Selsey and Bognor were in relation to each other. I noticed that Selsey Bill is at the tip of an area of land containing West Wittering, and you just mentioned that Keith Richards' house in West Wittering burnt down during that week. Some interesting connections in that area. Patrick Moore and Desert Island Discs via Eric Coates. He says he remembers my show with the interview with Howe Gelb. I thought he was very generous with his time, and to have him keep you company for the entire show and to make his own musical contribution was, well, just great. Back then you recorded the show in a studio on a Tuesday evening. Whatever happened to the squeaky chair you sat on? Did the squeak ever get fixed? Well, I had to leave that beautiful old studio. Most of the BBC here in Manchester is moving very slowly over to its new complex, Media City in Salford, which is a very impressive building. Very proud. A lot of the BBC is moving to Manchester. And that lovely old studio and its squeaky chair are no more. It is a shame. Another email here. I asked about a supergroup. I said, what would you name a supergroup involving Elliot Smith, Isaac Hayes, Garth Hudson, The Edge and Jerry Halliwell? And Jack Blundell came up with The Sublime and the Ridiculous. Thank you very much for that, Jack. I love it. I'm going to play a tune now for Vicky, who's been in touch before to suggest song for Guy recommendations. If you have a recommendation of a song that you think I'd enjoy, base your recommendations on the music I already play on the show. Try and pick something you think I've never heard before. Vicky's done exactly that here. Thanks to Vicky Burnett for this one from Kenobi. This is Ombre. We'll be right back. was Ombre by Kenobi. Time now, however, for the greatest radio ever recorded. Time once again for That Was the Sky at Night That Week That Was. On this week in 1969, Varagiri Vengeta Giri was elected the fourth president of the Indian Republic. He succeeded President Hussein, who died on the 3rd of May. There were demonstrations in Prague's Wenceslas Square to mark the first anniversary of the Russian invasion of Czechoslovakia. And the recently returned Apollo 11 astronauts were given a ticker tape parade through the streets of Houston this week in 69. In fishing news, a group of Belgian fishermen were released on bail after their trawler collided with a harbour bridge and sank in Great Yarmouth. And the monster of Loch Morar was spotted this week in Scotland. According to witnesses, it was a reptile-like creature with crocodile skin and the face of a frog. I could be cruel about an art teacher on one side right now, but I'm not going to. In demo news, bookies on bicycles delivered a letter to Downing Street this week. They were protesting about the new Finance Act. Why were they on bicycles? No idea. In wind news, Hurricane Camille ravaged the US Gulf Coast from Louisiana to Florida. And on tomorrow's World This Week in TV news, James Burke reported on a new shark repellent, while Derek Cooper reported on the search for a chocolate bar that made a good sound when it was broken. Okay. In music news, the Woodstock Festival was held on Max Jasger's 600-acre farm in Bethel outside New York. Over 400,000 people attended the three-day event, and among the acts playing were Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, Santana and The Who, and Johnny Winters, who we'll hear from in just a moment. In more music news, among the acts not playing Woodstock were Led Zeppelin, but they'd been asked but were already booked on a North American tour. They played this week in Toronto, New Jersey, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Florida and San Antonio, where they were abused by the locals for having long hair, which wouldn't have happened at Woodstock. While filming Ned Kelly in Australia, Mick Jagger was accidentally shot in the hand. And in Beatles news, it's the 60s, of course, there's Beatle news, the end of an era beckoned as this week the Fab Four finished I Want You, She's So Heavy, before working on the running order for the Abbey Road album. This was the last time all four Beatles were together in Abbey Road Studios. They then went to John Lennon's Tittenhurst Park home for their final ever photo session. But more important than that, in Patrick news this week, on The Sky at Night, Patrick was discussing moonquakes, and in particular the seismometer put on the moon by the Apollo 11 astronauts for measuring moonquakes. What a guy. And that was The Sky at Night That Week That Was. We'll be right back. Outstanding, eh? Isn't recording wonderful that we can listen to that actual performance? That was Johnny Winter live at Woodstock 41 years ago this week with Mean Town Blues. Amazing recording of an outstanding performance. I love it.
BBC Six Music.
Steve Lamacq.
New music from the week's new favourite band.
One of our favourites from South by Southwest. This was one of them, the band White Denim.
New releases reviewed on Roundtable.
Join us in the chat room, our little jury room composed of listeners. Everyone and anyone is welcome to take part.
New bands on Six Unsigned.
So we're going to be playing the Glastonbury Festival this year. Six Music Unsigned features Golden Silvers.
Steve Lamacq. Weekdays from 4.
BBC Six Music. Six Music.
Guy Garvey.
On Six Music.
Can I get to witness? Can I get to witness?
Okay. The theme of this week's show is mischief. We already heard about me interviewing Hal Gelb some time ago. This is when he was going out under the name Giant Sand. This was on a record called Chore of Enchantment. And this is full of mischief, this tune. This is Temptation of Egg.
Shape of woman.
Shape of a woman, temptation of egg. Then get you gummy, the notion coming to me. Lucky Louisiana. Of a woman, temptation of egg. I wake up with something in my
Gumi.
That was Giant Sand and Temptation of Egg. More mischievous songs in honour of Air Steward Stephen Slater later on. A couple of weeks ago, I admitted to having a fascination with flying dreams. Why do we have flying dreams? It's very, very common, and I'm fascinated by people's different methods of getting into the air. And I asked you to write in with your flying dream experiences, and it's been a very hot topic. Ian Hickman said, "My flight started fairly pleasurable. While walking down the high street, I realised I could jump long distances, which evolved into flying. But after a while, I could no longer control my flight, and I was hurtling around at an ever-increasing velocity, unable to slow down or control my direction. Whilst I somehow managed to avoid hitting the cities and mountains I was zooming past, the sheer speed was enough to induce a mild panic, and the sense of a terror eventually grew large enough to wake me up." Sorry about that, Ian. What else have we got here? Ah, yes. Kat's been in touch. She says, "In real life, I was about 20, but in my flying dream, I was only 7. I was slumped, bored, in the back of my mum's Datsun, packed on a steep suburban street, when a cheeky chappie appeared at my window and started to remove the rubber surround from the glass. Furious, I yelled at him and hammered on the window, but he just grinned and ran off with the rubber hoop. As I clambered out to make chase, I tripped and found myself floating horizontally about 3 feet off the ground. The air, as is so often the case in these chase dreams, turned treacly, so though I wriggled and pedalled and swam as hard as I could, the rubber thief soon disappeared over the crest of the hill. The frustration was intense at first, but then I realised I was flying, albeit slowly, and only at bed height, and I was pretty chuffed with myself. I spent the rest of the dream drifting round people's gardens, confusing dogs and swooping in a stately sort of way around tree trunks and gateposts. Hurrah! Love, Cat. Listening at work in Glasgow, but only when a boss is off, apparently. I love it." Fizz Benfield, good name, has been in touch and said, "Flying started by just lifting about 6 inches off the ground and floating down my home stairs, age 3 or 4, and progressed to horizontal flying well above the ground. That's my first flying dream as well, Fizz. It was falling down the stairs in a checked dressing gown I had when I was a nipper. And, realising that I could float gently to the bottom and then going experimenting. Very common, very common." Dan Shannon said he had a really strange flying dream a couple of years ago. "In order to fly, me and my friends had to jump in the air and then jump again before we landed, i.e. jumping off thin air. This propelled us into the air and had to be repeated over and over again to gain any decent height. Very strange and very tiring," from Dan. Thank you very much, Dan. Tim Wilde says he doesn't remember his dreams much, but he does frequently daydream about flying. Daydream about flying. "For a moving, eloquent and amazingly credible fictional account of flying unaided, try Paul Auster's novel Mr. Vertigo, the story of a Chicago street kid who is taught to fly by a mysterious stranger. Beautiful. I have read the book and it is absolutely brilliant. Once again, if you want to read a great book on this very subject, it's a novel, it's fiction. It's Paul Auster's Mr. Vertigo. Thank you very much, Tim. Abby Cornwall says she's never had a flying dream. Maybe someone could give her some tips on how to get it into her dreams. Do you can come in if you've got any tips. Stephen Thomas says, "How I fly, guy. I have a flying dream every year or so. I normally launch just by willing myself to fly. The way I do it probably doesn't look too much different to Superman taking off if Superman was slightly chubbier and wearing a dressing gown. Once I'm in the air, I just float there, and if I want to move, I have to will myself in a motion that isn't dissimilar to swimming in breaststroke." I've heard that a lot. A lot of people swim in the air. That's Stephen, who'll be moving into London the Sunday that this show goes out. Good luck with the move, mate. Let me see, who else? Andrew Jones says in his flying dreams, he's always going downhill, normally stairs, sometimes steep hillsides. He jumps and never touches down. All the propulsion seems to come from my legs, which are kicking furiously, he says. Okay. John T. Clark says he stretches out his arms and he pushes down in order to get into the air. He says he wonders if other people are having flying dreams at the moment. He goes on to say, "Could it be that because we are sleeping with the windows open, we can feel the air blowing across our faces as if we were flying? Perhaps it's some kind of atavistic recollection of flight. God knows," he says. He says his flying dream on Sunday night last lasted for ages and was incredibly beautiful. I've never taken anything stronger than cannabis, but it was how I imagined the effects of LSD to be. I think flying dreams are supposed to be positive, indicating that we are in a good place, etc. I've heard that. My sister was saying that earlier today. Very briefly in my dream, I was flying around a city like New York, for the most part, and could see and touch amazing Art Deco details on the inside of buildings. At one point, he flew onto the deck of a boat. At another point, me and other flying people broke into Alan Titchmarsh's house, and he wouldn't release us until we told him how to fly. This is outstanding. The end of his dream was him flying up to a kind of roof of the sky. It was like a theatrical backdrop made of thick card, sort of stapled together. I hope that wasn't too boring. Blimey, love John T. Clarke. I love the ending there. You get to a ceiling and it's made of cardboard. That reminds me of a song.
See, but it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me. Yes, it's only a canvas sky hanging over a muslin tree, but it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me. Without your love, it's a honky-tonk parade. Without your love, it's a melody played in a penny arcade. It's a Barnum and Bailey world, just as phony as it can be. But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me.
Say it's only a paper moon, sailing over a cardboard sea, but it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me. Yes, it's only a canvas sky hanging over a muslin tree, but it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me. Without your love,
it's a honky-tonk parade. Without your love,
it's a melody played in a penny arcade.
It's a Barnum and Bailey world, just as phony as it can be. But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me. It's phony, it's plain to see how happy I would be if you
beautiful, effortless improvising of the voice. What a fantastic musician she was, as well as a great singer. Ella Fitzgerald, It's Only a Paper Moon. Thank you for your flying dream emails. That was a good old thing to think about. Maybe there's something I can make involving this flying dream fascination I've got. I've written a song called Flying Dream 143, suggesting that I've had over 140 different flying dreams in my time. It's a nice little tune. I'll never play it on this show, but you should go and have a look. What do you think? I want to hear My Morning Jacket. When do I want to hear it? Now. I want to hear It Beats For You by My Morning Jacket from the album Zed. When do I want to hear it? Now.
Save the never do.
from the album Z, or Z in their native tongue. That was My Morning Jacket and It Beats For You. Love that tune. Fergal Deneen has been in touch. He lives in Cork in Ireland. He says, I saw Scott Matthews on the Nick Drake tribute show, The Songs of Nick Drake, Way to Blue, on the BBC earlier this year. I was compelled to buy one of his albums, and when I heard this song, it evoked something in me. I loved it immediately, and ever since I've not stopped listening to it. I think it's a startlingly beautiful song. Thank you very, very much indeed, Fergal. This is Scott Matthews. It is really beautiful. It's called Suddenly You Figure Out.
I need you 'cause you're all I have.
Song for Guy recommendation from Fergal Dineen. That was Scott Matthews and Suddenly You Figure Out. If you have a Song for Guy recommendation, it's guy.sixmusic@bbc.co.uk. That's guy.sixmusic@bbc.co.uk. So the theme of this week's show, in honour of this amazing air steward, Stephen Slater, who left his job by announcing it over the tannoy, grabbing a beer in his overnight bag and setting off the emergency slide on the aircraft he was on the runway and then driving home. I just think it's a wonderful bit of mischief. So, in honour of him, the theme of this week's show is mischief. Here's the king of mischief, Mr. Fats Waller, with a very insulting, hilarious tune. Listen to the words of "Your feet's too big."
Who's that walking around here? Mercy. Sounds like baby patter. Baby elephant patter, that's what I calls it. Say, up in Harlem, at a table for two, there were four of us, me, your big feet, and you. From your ankle up, I'll say you sure are sweet. From that down, there's just too much feet. Yes, your feet's too big. Don't want you cause your feet's too big. Can't use you cause your feet's too big. I really hate you cause your feet's too big. Yeah. Where'd you get them? Your girl, she likes you. She thinks you're nice. Got what it takes to be in paradise. She said she likes your face. She likes your rig. Man, oh man, them things are too big. Oh, your feet's too big. Don't want you cause your feet's too big. Mad at you cause your feet's too big. I hate you cause your feet's too big. My goodness, gun to gun boots. Shift, shift, shift. Extremities are colossal. To me, you look just like a fossil. You got me walking, talking, and squawking. Cause your feet too big, yeah. Come on and walk that thing. Oh, I never heard of such walking. Mercy. Your pedal extremities really are obnoxious.
Six Music.
BBC Introducing.
With Tom Robinson.
We choose the music for the show entirely on what comes out of the speakers.
All it has to be is unknown, online, and interesting.
We don't care where the band comes from. We don't care if they're signed or unsigned. All we care about is, does it interest us?
BBC Introducing with Tom Robinson.
I think today's artists have just got fed up with waiting for radio to come around and play their music, and they just started broadcasting it themselves on the web.
Saturday into Sunday from midnight.
Or download the podcast for free anytime afterwards.
BBC Six Music.
Van Morrison is often described as a miserablest. True, he's not the most media-friendly of musicians, but his reputation for being stubborn and idiosyncratic doesn't have him rushing to launch a charm offensive. Difficulty maybe, but clearly he's content to let the music speak for itself. And on that score, his popularity soars above other artists. Who could guess that such a curmudgeon is capable of writing with such joy and passion? 1973's Warm Love is just one of his many songs that reveal the tender heart beneath his gruff exterior. Typical of his sound at that time, the soulful vibe of laid-back guitar, gentle percussion and breathy flute create a simple backdrop to his glorious description of love on a perfect day. It's this capacity to share his feelings through music that his many fans adore, and which more than makes up for his monosyllabic mumbling in the media spotlight. And why am I telling you this? Because you need to know.
Look at the ivy on the old clanging wall. Look at the flowers and the green grass so tall. It's not a matter of when push comes to shove. It's just the hour on the wings of a dove. That's just warm love. It's just warm love. I dig it when you're fancy dressed up. This inspiration's got to be on the flow. These invitations got to see it and know. It's just warm love. It's just warm love. And it's ever present everywhere. And it's ever present everywhere.
Van the Man Morrison and Warm Love, as chosen by the wonderful Beckopedia. Thank you so much. This next tune was introduced to me by one of you guys a long time ago. It was a Song for Guy recommendation in, I think, March of last year. I'm sorry, I can't remember who made the recommendation. It's by the Clientele. It's called From Brighton Beach to Santa Monica. We've not heard of this band over here because, well, they do much better in the States, so I guess they spend more time there. But I love this song. Once again, the Clientele and From Brighton Beach to Santa Monica.
Cross the lonely parade, Six Music.
Who let Garvey on the air?
The Big Bally BC is who?
Guy Garvey.
On Six.
Turning me on and with your eyes, staying along and with your eyes, coming on strong and with your eyes. You burn, searching to please, and with your smile, cursing with ease, and with your smile, kindle the flame, and with your smile, you burn me. I'd rather you told me that you couldn't care less than put me through numbers that feel like a test. I don't get taken for granted when I'm yours. Turning me on and with your eyes, playing along and with your eyes, coming on strong and with your eyes, you burn me. Searching to please and with your smile, cursing with ease and with your smile, kindle the flame and with your smile, you burn me. I'd rather you told me that you couldn't care less than put me through numbers that feel like a test. I want you. I'll be yours to call. For granted when I'm yours. I gotta know that I'm
Isn't that stunning? You can almost forgive him for One Night in Bangkok. Almost. That was Murray Head from the album Say It Ain't So, that was When I'm Yours. I'm Guy Garvey, the lead singer of Elbow. I'm with you for another hour. The theme of this week's show is mischief, and this little fella's full of it. This is Prince with Condition of the Heart.
Thank you.
himself. That was Prince in Condition of the Heart. I love it. Really overdramatic. Right up my boulevard. Great music. And you know, great music don't take care of itself. You need good police. Our Victim, written by Elton John and Bernie Taupin, was the summer love song for 1971. A ballad for innocent, love-struck teens everywhere. It was a hit on both sides of the Atlantic. So when the violence began, there was nowhere to hide. First, like a quintet of not-so-seductive sirens, the noisome Nolan sisters, wailing in unison, desperately tried to lure it onto the rocks. Only a last-minute swerve towards harmony saved it from a watery grave. Next, Irish panpipe nightmares, Inishkia, trapped it in an endless cycle of abuse, lost as it was in whole music hell. Luckily, its escape was aided by a little wind beneath its wings. Then purveyor of the finest Mockney clap rap, The Streets, in a dreadful yet apparently earnest attempt, stumbled through a performance so wooden that it left it covered in splinters. But when recent probationer and brazen lyric mangler Billy Paul gathered his girly choir, kicked off the cha-cha beat and prepared to trample all over this gentle little love song, it was murder.
It's a little bit funny, this feeling inside. I'm not one of those who can easily hide. I don't have much money, but boy, if I did, I'd buy a big house where we both could live. I was a sculptor, but then again, no. Or a man who makes potions in a traveling show. I know it's not much, but it's the best I can do. My gift is my song, and this one's for you. You can tell everybody this is your song. It may be quite simple, but now that it's done, I hope you don't mind, I hope you don't mind that I put down the words how wonderful life is while you're in the world. The verses, well, they've got me quite cross. But the sun's been quite kind while I wrote this song. It's for people like you that keep it turned on. So excuse me for getting, but these things I do. See, I've forgotten if they're green or they're blue. Anyway, the thing is, what I really mean, yours are the sweetest eyes I've ever seen. And you can tell everybody this is the song. It may be quite simple, but now that it's done, I hope you don't mind, I hope you don't mind that I put down in the words how wonderful life is while you're in the world. I hope you don't mind, I hope. You're in the world.
That was mercifully, eventually, Elton John and your song. More moider next week.
BBC Six Music.
Welcome along to the Huey Show.
Huey Morgan.
3 hours of love from me to you.
There's nothing cooler than turning somebody on to a great song or a great band that they might not have heard. That's pretty much what drives me to play my own music on the show. And also the great thing about being on Six Music is that I get to hear things that I would not normally hear.
The Huey Show.
When I make the show is that you're at my house and I'm playing you my records. Stuff that I want to hear on a Sunday afternoon.
Sundays from 1.
You're sitting with me for a couple hours and we get past Saturday and we're into Sunday and getting ready for the week.
On Six Music.
Guy Garvey, debonair and distinctive on Six Music.
Robert Garvey, no relation, has been in touch. He says, "Hi Guy, I was wondering if you grew up watching American primetime TV dramas like me, in particular the Robert Wagner Stephanie Powers vehicle, Heart to Heart. During your finest hour, when you dramatically declare in a hard-boiled, gritty American accent, 'It was murder,' you kind of remind me of Lionel Stander, who played Max on Heart to Heart. Every week in our rec rooms, living rooms and dens, we heard him tell us, 'Cause when they met, it was murder.'" Yeah, that's exactly where I got it from, actually. Cheers. It is. Thanks, Robert Garvey. He goes on to say, "I'd like to recommend Jonas Policewoman, Real Life. Simultaneously melancholy and hopeful at the same time. I'm not sure how you write a song like that, but every time I hear it, I have to stop whatever I'm doing and just take a beat and listen." Well, it's a song that I played on the show an awful long time ago. I actually interviewed Joan for the programme via my friend Rachel, and she's become a friend since. She's a lovely woman and a real talent, and I think this is in my top 10 tunes. If I was ever asked to do Desert Island Discs, which is perhaps the last ambition I've got left, then this would be one of those. This is the astonishing Real Life.
To wait in line.
crystal scale. I think of your hands and calculate how a man desired feels the weight of a letter. It's true what they say about me, that I'm out of my mind, but I think that you like it. So take the chance. Be
isn't that amazing? It just so happens that when that was Jonah's policewoman, by the way, otherwise known as Joan Lasser. It just so happens that before Mrs. Badger and I got together, she was a journalist for a local newspaper, and I was making this programme, and Joan Lasser was in town. I interviewed her for the programme, Emma interviewed her for a newspaper, and Emma asked her specifically what that song was about. And she kind of fobbed it off. She said, well, I was trying to get into this guy and I just wrote him a love song because I was trying to get into him. Lucky guy. Once again, that was Real Life by Jonah's Policewoman. Where do you go from something as beautiful as that? Well, Mark McKenzie has a good idea. He says, Puccini's Humming Chorus from Madame Butterfly.
Thank you.
For Mark McKenzie, that was the humming chorus from Madam Butterfly. Trevor Shears has been in touch. He said his reason for writing is chatting to his son Richard last week. He mentioned that he was now an avid listener to The Finest Hour, and he went one better. Basically, he's a bathroom and kitchen fitter who, to his surprise, has just fitted a kitchen, bathroom or shower in Pete Turner's new house. Pete Turner is the bass player with my band Elbow. I say my band because they're not going to correct me, because none of the rest of the group listen to this programme. They're not real friends, not anymore. I might start telling you awful secrets about them to encourage them to listen. Aye, there'll be a book one day. Just to round it off, can you dedicate something appropriate to him and his girlfriend? He doesn't mean Peter, he means Richard. Could you dedicate something appropriate to him and his girlfriend Georgie, as they are ecstatic to have discovered that she is pregnant and bingo is due next January? Well, as luck would have it, so is Pete Turner and his wonderful girlfriend Ruth. What a lovely couple they are. What a beautiful baby it's going to be. But this is for you guys. This is for Richard, Georgie and Bingo, who's due in January. This is a song I play whenever a friend of mine has had a baby. If you twist this song, you can imagine that this must be how it feels when a woman finally gives birth. Was, of course, Etta James and At Last. That's for anyone who's had a baby recently. Time for the gallery. I asked you some weeks ago to furnish me with circular pictures. I thought they'd look really nice if you put them all over the front page of my website. So the gallery is full of circles and more have arrived. Angela Betsworth says, I sent you a drawing a couple of weeks ago, oh this isn't circular this one, which you interpreted as a waste paper basket. If you zoom in and clarify, you'll see that it's a bird's eye view of you at your microphone in your room in the new house without furniture, from Angela Betsworth. I can see you now, Angela. Thank you very much. I was complaining about the echo in this very room before I had any soft furnishings into it. There's still a bit of an echo, isn't there? But do we mind? I'm not sure we do. I like to think it adds to the ambience. Sean Hendry has come up with... it's the stickers off the How Gelb record, Snow Angel, which is a beautiful record. John Tuck says, this is a photo taken in the Organ Museum at Utrecht, Holland. And it's lovely. It's a picture of, I guess it's like a Christian face, like an angel or something, on top of a pipe organ. But it is made circular, maybe by the lens that was used. Lucy Blue sent me a glass orb full of bubbles. That's a nice circular image. Oh, there's another one from Lucy here. It's a bird's eye view of a full mug of black coffee. And yet another one from Lucy, which is, I think it's a lamp. It's a strange angle of a lamp. Very circular, though. These are all going to look great next to each other. Helen Underhay has sent me the sun. That's pretty damn circular. A bare but very circular spiky tree. And a headstone with a circle involved in its design. And a dragon scepter thing. It's holding a lamp. That's quite circular, I suppose. And twin pious dudes in some kind of stone relief. Two pretty Christian-looking dudes. this is obviously carved in the side of a church. Thank you very much for all those circles. Keep your circles coming. We're now going to have Damien Gerardo. This is called Rachel and Callie. And if I reach the email, there we are. This is for Kathy Wiggins. She says, Rachel and Callie by Damien Gerardo from album St. Bartlett is a very, very good song. She's never heard of him before, but she thinks he's made about 10 albums. Yeah, I listened to this tune earlier on and believe every word of it. It's a very straightforward, personal song. Once again, it's Damien Gerardo, Rachel and Callie.
Rachel, would it be alright if I stayed here in the car? There's too many people out there I don't know. It's not that I'm too shy, I cannot be polite. I just don't feel confident in crowds. What you like, I'll probably be here a while. I'll leave you my car keys in case you wanna leave. Welcome to stay at my house. My parents will both be out. There's a blanket in the closet if you decide to sleep over. Rachel, I'm sorry to call, I can't sleep at all. The closet's on. For you, a friend is all.
recommended by Kathy Wiggins. That was Damien Girardo and Rachel and Callie. If you have any abuse, praise, funny stories, odd dreams you want to tell me about, or pictures for the gallery, or song for Guy recommendations, then the address is guy.6music@bbc.co.uk. That's guy.6music@bbc.co.uk. Time now for another snippet from my favourite radio programme of all time, other than the one I make for you, of course. This is a snippet from Desert Island Discs. This is when Alan J. Lerner was in the chair, and this is him talking about one of his favourite songs.
For your next stage musical, something of a change of pace, a rather more solemn musical, Camelot.
Yes, we hoped we could do it as light entertainment, but of course, as it turned out, it wasn't a ponderous musical, but nevertheless, it's a tragic story in a way that ends inspirationally, I hoped. Mm-hmm. And it opened, and it had a strange career because it was well received, but no hats were thrown in the air. But then 3 months later, there was a program honoring Fritz and me by Ed Sullivan. And Richard Burton, who was in it, and Julie Andrews did bits and pieces from Camelot on the program. And the next day, the people were lining up at the box office, and it became a hit. Yes. And continued to run for 4 years. And it was during that period, of course, that the president tragically was assassinated. And Mrs. Kennedy, in an interview, said that the president's favorite song had been the last moment in the album of Camelot. Don't let it be forgot that once there was a spot for one brief shining moment that was known as Camelot. And that, since then, has become associated with the Kennedy years.
You have worked at the White House quite a lot on the entertainment side.
Well, I've worked in the Democratic Party, and I did do the last birthday party of the president. It was a marvelous show, including Louis Armstrong, who's, you know, I was able to get everybody I wanted to see because it was the President Kennedy.
Well, you've chosen one of Satchmo's records, so this seems a good place to play it.
Oh, yes, please.
Just a jackknife has Mac Heat, dear, and he keeps it out of sight. When the shark bites with his teeth, dear, scarlet billows start to spread. Fancy gloves, though, wears Mac Heat, dear, so there's not a trace of red. On the sidewalk Sunday morning, even, lies a body oozing light. Someone sneaking around the corner. Is this someone? Mac the knife from a tugboat by the river. A cement bag's drooping down. Yes, the cement's just for the weight, dear. Bet you Mac Heat's back in town. Look a year, Louis Miller disappeared, dear, after drawing out his cash. And Mac Heat spent like a sailor. Did our boy do something rash? Suki Tawdry, Jenny Diver, Lottie Lanier, Sweet Lucy Brown. Oh, the line forms on the right. is. Now that Mackie's back in town.
Take it, Satch.
Chosen by Alan J. Lerner on his Desert Island Discs, that was Louis Armstrong and Mac the Knife.
BBC Six Music.
Kerris Matthews.
Man, the best thing about picking the music to play for the show is hearing something the night before and being blown away from it. Knowing you can bring it in the following day and play it live on the radio.
Huey Morgan.
I find it everywhere. Finding my friends' record collections, you know, when I'm in their car, they got a song I haven't heard. Finding the old cassettes that you had when you were a kid and digging through them. And finding tunes that used to make your heart beat fast and then playing them for people.
Guy Garvey.
I pick my tunes by very carefully scouring the other presenters' record collections. And then the listeners send in recommendations as well, so it makes me look dead good.
Kerris Matthews,
Huey Morgan and Guy Garvey.
Playing you the music they love.
Find out more about their shows. Go to bbc.co.uk/sixmusic.
Guy Garvey's finest hour.
Top one.
Boss.
Skill.
Lick it up.
Six Music.
I'm always talking about Talk Talk, the late Talk Talk records, the last three that they made, astonishing albums, particularly the last two, and Mark Hollis's solo record that he made a few years ago is gorgeous as well. This, unbelievably, was a B-side. This next song that I'm going to play for you is just swimming with romance. The way that the synthesizers move, it's so bold and it's so beautiful and it's so fragile. And I want to draw your attention as well to what he does with the simplest of lyric at the front of the song. The lyric is, everybody's laughing, and listen to how many different meanings or inflections or suggestions he gives those words with the way he sings it. The very, very fragile voice of Mark Hollis. This is the greatest band that ever played together. This is Talk Talk, and it's getting late in the evening.
Thank you.
Talk and It's Getting Late in the Evening. If you want to get hold of a copy of that, it's on a collection called A-Sides, B-Sides. See what they've done there, but the band had nothing to do with that title. Record companies usually put your B-Sides album out for you when they're trying to... What's the term they use? Capitalise? Anyway. This next tune is from Blue Nile. One of the greatest things about my job is being able to meet your heroes. I met the Blue Nile at Tea in the Park. No, it wasn't, I beg your pardon. It was Electric Picnic in Ireland, which is a terrific festival if you ever get a chance to go. Well, they've always got an amazing lineup, and we played there one year as part of an amazing lineup. We played there one year, and so did the Blue Nile. Just astonishing. It was a beautiful set. And when we came off stage, Paul Buchanan was waiting in our dressing room to say hello because he'd heard we were fans. Nothing better than meeting one of your heroes and finding out that he's a total gentleman and a lovely man, and we shared a few cans of beer together. Hey, what a wonderful life I'm happening. I'm happening? I'm having. This is happiness. See what happened there?
happiness, happiness.
Just wonderful. That's Blue Nile and Happiness. I think you're all bloody lovely. Thank you very, very much for tuning in again. I'll see you in about a week's time. I don't know why, but I've just thought of a joke that my brother told me the other day. I want to tell it you. I don't tell jokes very well. But what time does Sean Connery get to Wimbledon? Trenish. Eh? Thanks to Michelle and Peter and Boz and everybody who else put my show together. Thank you very, very much to the Beckopedia for her contribution. Always wonderful. Thanks to everybody who sent in pictures for the gallery. Please keep them coming. Anything circular we're doing at the moment, but it doesn't have to be circular. Anything that you, a photograph you love, an image that you've taken or a painting that you've made or a sculpture, anything that you do during the show, put it in my gallery, why don't you? I'm Guy Garvey, the lead singer of Elbow. And it just remains for me to say to you...
10, 9, 8, 7, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Happy New Week, pussy. That was Sean Connery, by the way. Supposed to be, anyway.
Spent another lonely day thinking of you. Midnight, tomorrow is on its way. Empty and new, still I'm lonely. So lonely at midnight for you. Midnight, oh what a lonely time to weep, all alone. Midnight, I should have been fast asleep.